Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 73. Glory, honor, praise, and pure oblations unto God the Lord belong. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him with a song. In his hand is all the power of nations. Sing to him, ye joyous congregations, psalms of gratitude and praise unto God the Father raise. Hymn number 73. The scriptural this morning will be given by Janet from Georgia.
Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer, with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 423. Give me, O Lord, an understanding heart, that I may learn to know myself in thee, to spurn the wrong and choose the better part, and thus from sinful bondage be set free. Hymn number 423.
Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. This is our Sunday morning service for May 3rd, 2020. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, and we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, please catch it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, or you can also catch it on our channel on YouTube. We have a Sunday school for children every Sunday morning at 11, and that Sunday school has its own teleconference number so that children from anywhere in the world can attend just by dialing that number. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives changed and saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers at all of our services. We are going to have another Bible study session next Saturday, May 9, at 10 a.m. So check the website for the Bible study questions. And please join us next Saturday morning, 10 a.m. You'll be happy that you did. And I'd like to point out an article that we are featuring on our website this week, entitled Our Salvation by Edward A. Kimball. So if you would like a better explanation as to where your safety lies and where your salvation is, this is a really good article, Our Salvation by Edward A. Kimball. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. Now we will have the reading of a testimony from Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Karen from California.
Page 441. I have been thinking for a long time that I would give my experience in coming out of sickness into the knowledge of health by reading Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I was 60 years old, as we mortals count time, before I ever read one word of Christian Science. On July 2nd, 1890, I met a scientist who gave me a pamphlet called Christian Healing by the Reverend Mary B. G. Eddy. At that time, I was almost helpless. This lady advised me to buy Science and Health. I did so and tried to read it, but my hands were so lame, I couldn't hold it. And I let it fall to the floor so often that it became unbound, and I laid it away and resumed my medicine. The following May, the scientist visited in this city again. She advised me to burn all my medicines and to lean unreservedly on the promises of God. I took her advice, had my book rebound in 3 volumes so I could hold it more easily, and now read it constantly, reading nothing else. Sometimes I would suffer intensely, then I would get a little better, then more suffering, and so on, until August 1891, when all pain left me. I have had no return of it and no disagreeable sensations of any kind, and am perfectly well in all respects. Surely, if we will but trust our Heavenly Father, He is sufficient for us. I hope someone of or near my age who is afflicted may read this and take courage, for I have demonstrated the fact that by reading Science and Health in connection with the Bible and trying to follow the teaching therein, one in the autumn of life, may be made over new. I am so thankful to God for my great recovery. That remark of Sojourner Truth helps me to a better understanding of life in God. Quote, God is the great house that holds all his children. We dwell in him as the fishes dwell in the seas. E.T.P.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 10 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Everlasting Punishment. The golden text is from Proverbs. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The responsive reading is from Psalms. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me.
Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way.
For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great.
Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted.
Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible, 2 Samuel. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Bathsheba his wife bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. Psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Luke. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Second Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Science and Health. The design of love is to reform the sinner. Do you ask wisdom to be merciful and not to punish sin? Then ye ask amiss. Without punishment, sin would multiply. Jesus' prayer, forgive us our debts, specified also the terms of forgiveness. When forgiving the adulterous woman, he said, go and sin no more. We acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin in the destruction of sin and the spiritual understanding that casts out evil as unreal. But the belief in sin is punished so long as the belief lasts. Prayer is not to be used as a confessional to cancel sin. Such an error would impede true religion. Sin is forgiven only as it is destroyed by Christ, truth, and life. If prayer nourishes the belief that sin is canceled and that man is made better merely by praying, prayer is an evil. He grows worse who continues in sin because he fancies himself forgiven. Sorrow for wrongdoing is but one step toward reform, and the very easiest step. The next and great step required by wisdom is the test of our sincerity, namely reformation. In common justice, we must admit that God will not punish man for doing what he created man capable of doing and knew from the outset that man would do. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. We sustain truth not by accepting, but by rejecting a lie. Simply asking that we may love God will never make us love him. But the longing to be better and holier, expressed in daily watchfulness and in striving to assimilate more of the divine character, will mold and fashion us anew until we awaken his likeness. Through repentance, spiritual baptism, and regeneration, mortals put off their material beliefs and false individuality. It is only a question of time when they shall all know me, God, from the least of them unto the greatest. Denial of the claims of matter is a great step toward the joys of spirit, towards human freedom and the final triumph over the body. There is but one way to heaven, harmony, and Christ in divine science shows us this way. It is to know no other reality, to have no other consciousness of life than good, God and his reflection, and to rise superior to the so-called pain and pleasure of the senses. Lust, malice, and all sorts of evil are diseased beliefs. And you can destroy them only by destroying the wicked motives which produce them. If the evil is over in the repentant mortal mind, while its effects still remain on the individual, you can remove this disorder as God's law is fulfilled and reformation cancels the crime. The healthy sinner is the hardened sinner. This conviction that there is no real pleasure in sin is one of the most important points in the theology of Christian Science. Arouse the sinner to this new and true view of sin. Show him that sin confers no pleasure. And this knowledge strengthens his moral courage and increases his ability to master evil and to love good. Healing the sick and reforming the sinner are one and the same thing in Christian Science. Both cures require the same method and are inseparable in truth. Hatred, envy, dishonesty, fear, and so forth make a man sick, and neither material medicine nor mind can help him permanently, even in body, unless it makes him better mentally, and so delivers him from his destroyers. The basic error is mortal mind. Hatred inflames the brutal propensities. The indulgence of evil motives and aims makes any man who is above the lowest type of manhood a hopeless sufferer. Christian Science commands man to master the propensities, to hold hatred in abeyance with kindness, to conquer lust with chastity, revenge with charity, and to overcome deceit with honesty. Choke these errors in their early stages if you would not cherish an armor of conspirators against health, happiness, and success. They will deliver you to the judge, the arbiter of truth against error. The judge will deliver you to justice, and the sentence of the moral law will be executed upon mortal mind and body. Both will be manacled until the last farthing is paid, until you have balanced your account with God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The good man finally can overcome his fear of sin. This is sin's necessity to destroy itself. Immortal man demonstrates the government of God, good, in which is no power to sin. A sinner can receive no encouragement from the fact that science demonstrates the unreality of evil. For the sinner would make a reality of sin, would make that real which is unreal, and thus heap up wrath against the day of wrath. He is joining in a conspiracy against himself, against his own awakening to the awful unreality by which he has been deceived. Only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. God is love. To suppose that God forgives or punishes sin according as his mercy is sought or unsought is to misunderstand love and to make prayer the safety valve for wrongdoing. The habitual struggle to be always good is unceasing prayer. Its motives are made manifest in the blessings they bring. Blessings which, even if not acknowledged in audible words, attest our worthiness to be partakers of love. Divine love corrects and governs man. Men may pardon, but this divine principle alone reforms the sinner.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 283. Praise we the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Let us extol him with joyous and loving endeavor. Come, let us sing, praising our God and our King. Should we be silent? Ah, never. Hymn number 283.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 394. Word of life, most pure, most strong, lo, for thee the nations long, spread till from its dreary night all the world awakes to light. Hymn number 394.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.